Hello, everyone. Thank you for joining me again this week on the SOS podcast. I'm your host, Carl. I hope you're all doing well. Sincerely, I mean that. I really hope that with this new year, God is doing some really big, good things in your lives. I hope that you're receiving answers to your prayers. I really hope that you see God moving. And, you know, if you don't, hopefully today's message will give you a little fuel to your fire, a little inspiration to persevere and go a little deeper, go a little further in seeking that from Him. Now, I know that you've all heard of the Titanic. It's a huge ship that sank back in 1912, hit an iceberg, a lot of casualties, a lot of victims there. When that happened, we're talking 1912, we got to think about the technology they had then, the resources they had then. It was a huge undertaking, a huge feat for years and years and years, not only to locate the victims of that crash, but to identify them. You know, it wasn't cargo that was lost. These were people. These were lives that had ended. That was important. It was important to the people back then, and it's still important to people today who are looking for victims who still haven't been found or who have been found but just haven't been identified. Recently, it's come to my attention that there was a victim, a very young victim, who was called the unknown child of the Titanic. Back then, again, they didn't have a lot of technology. If they were going to identify victims they found, it typically would be because of what the person had on them. So perhaps if the person were wealthier and had certain clothing on or certain recognizable jewelry, those things would give a clue to who they were. Maybe someone had a wallet with some information. Maybe they had a journal or a diary that would identify them. But when it came to little kids, other than who the child might have been found close to, it was really tough to figure out who was who. One victim in particular who was difficult to identify was a little toddler, a two-year-old little boy. He unfortunately didn't have anything on him. He wasn't a wealthy kid. He had traveled in the third class steerage area of the ship. He didn't have clothing that would have been monogrammed or that would have had a fancy name on the label. He didn't have any jewelry or a journal or a wallet or any of those things. So this ship sank in 1912. Between 1912 and the early 2000s, some efforts were undertaken to figure out who this child was. In more recent times, with modern technological advances, someone realized that although it looked like this child had nothing on him to identify him, he actually did have something. He had something that we all have. Of course, back then, 1912, even into the 1950s and 60s, there was no way to use this to figure out who he was. But fast forward to 2007, and after many failed attempts at trying to discover the identity of this child, researchers were able to conclusively identify him. That child had a name, that child had a tombstone, that had an epitaph with an actual name, with a date of birth. That child was able to be buried near his mother, who also was a victim of the crash. And I think about all the efforts that were put into this over years and years and years, so many people. And at the beginning of all of this is the recognition of the value of life. And someone said, well, we could just take all of these people who unfortunately perished in this tragedy and just wipe them clean. We don't need to identify them. We don't need to bury them. We can just say, this happened. It's terrible. Let's move on. But people couldn't do that. They couldn't do that because they understood what human life means. And all of this time, everyone's trying to figure out who this little boy is because it wasn't right for him to be just this nameless face, just this life that no one can recognize. It's a sad ending that no one wants to accept, right? We want the happy ending because we can't fathom that all of these years later, this little two-year-old boy perished, possibly by himself, in the frozen water, and that was the end. But honestly, even if we had never found out his name, there's someone who knew his name. There's someone who knew that child from the foundations of the earth, from before creation, when there was no world to stand on, when there was no sky to look at, when there was no sun to shine down upon us and warm us, before all of that, that child was known by God, by our Heavenly Father. Do you ever sit around and think about God, think about Jesus, think about the Holy Spirit, and you spend your time, you're meditating, right? You're invested in that connection. Do you ever wonder though, wow, God's actually thinking of me? And it's not this passive thought process like when you hear music and you just instinctively sing along with it because you know the words, and somebody might think, oh wow, it's really good. You know all the words and you've got the tempo down, and you think to yourself, I was actually thinking about 1,000 other things while I was singing that song. That was just automatic. That was just reflex. Or sometimes we have those thoughts that just pop into our head that we're not trying to think of, right? You might have forgotten something earlier in the day. Later in the day, that thought pops back up. That's not really intentional. It's involuntary. It just happened. Or someone, you know, crosses your mind. You think, wow, I really should call so-and-so. But you weren't thinking of doing that. That person's face or name just happened to pop in there. That's not the kind of thinking we're talking about. When we say that God is thinking about us, He is intentionally concentrated, focused on us. Yes, He's huge. He is all-powerful. He's all-knowing. He's all-able. He can think about everyone so intently all the time. I can't do that, right? You can't do that. Sometimes it's hard to just concentrate on Him alone. But He can do that. And that little boy who people's thoughts have been centered around for years and years and years, God's thoughts were centered around him long, 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 long before that. And for many, many, many more years, we can't even count them. Actually, God sent his son for that little boy, the way he sent his son for everyone else. The fact that we are anybody that God would be mindful of, the fact that he knows our names, right? He knows our fears. He knows our weaknesses. He knows our dreams. He knows our hopes. He knows our plans. He's numbered every hair that's ever been on my head and your head and his head and her head. It's crazy the type of attention we get from our Father. And I wonder whether we ever realize that that's happening right now. It's always happening right now. I wonder if our minds are ever really blown at the idea of God knowing who we are and thinking about us and working things out for our good. I'll tell you, I had a huge trip planned this year that, because of things going on recently, has been canceled initially for a moment, literally a moment. It really deflated me because I'd been right now for the last 6-7 months looking forward to this. And we were just going to start hardcore planning for this trip. And now we can't go. But there's another trip that immediately I said, well, then I'm going there. And who knows that God has somehow woven this all together and used these circumstances that, you know, are not good circumstances. It's not a good reason why this trip was canceled. But he's using this to provide a different opportunity for me to go somewhere else and experience something else and do something that perhaps has just been the plan all along. You know, I'm sitting here with my plan thinking that's where I want to be. But look, God's taking me somewhere else. You know, he's doing that this year with me. I don't know if he's doing that with you, but those are not coincidences. These aren't last minute changes. God has been thinking about us for forever. Forever, literally. For us, it's not forever because I started at some point, you started at some point, but he has no beginning. He's just been here. So think about that. Think about the fact that God has been thinking about us all of this time. Think about the fact that when something happens in your life today, that's not news to him. It's not something he planned last week. That's what he had planned for you from before the foundations of the earth. Think about that. This week's Songspiration is by Francesca Battistelli. It's called He Knows My Name. I think it's a clear, obvious selection for this week. It's one thing for God to look down upon us, his children, and say, hey, you, how are you doing? It's another thing for him to look down upon us and call us by name, actually know us intimately. That's the kind of God we serve. I'm not a number. I'm not a nameless face. I am a person with a name, and God knows my name. You know, we read through scripture and we see in the Old Testament times when God would have an encounter with someone and he would rename them. He would say, I know they call you this, but I call you that, and this is why. Have you received a name from God? Has he whispered in your ear what he calls you, how he knows you? I don't think I have. Why don't we pray for that? Why don't we thank God? Say, Lord, Father, thank you that you know who I am, that I'm not just a number, God, but I'm a person. I'm a life that matters. I have a name and you know it. And from before the foundations of the earth, you knew that name. You had me on your heart. Father, if there is another name you'd like to give me, if there is another way that you know me, a way that if I know it, how much encouragement would that give me? Father, if you'd like to name me, bring that forward. Thank you, God. Thank you for the attention you give me. Thank you for your purposeful, focused thought on me. Father, we love you. We cannot wait until we see you face to face. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Good day, and God bless. Soul.